Hi everyone, and welcome to Shit My Pants, a podcast where two complete wimps watch two horror movies a week and talk about how much they ruin their pants.
Clean sheets.
Clean sheets this week.
But happy we watched them.
Yeah.
I think The Omen kind of... Omen's our first one, by the way.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you watch that, you can see how it's informed a lot of other demonic-y, religious type of films later on.
I mean, overall, it's pretty good. So our big budget film this week, or classic, is 1976's The Omen. So the original Omen.
Mm-hmm.
Original Dames. Damey Boy.
I think it came out 6th of June, 76. Pretty sure.
Really good work.
I remember when the remake came out.
Actually, it's really good work until you go, 6676.
Yeah, I know. But it's the same with the remake they did in 2006
right.
on the same date. So 660606.
Yeah, that kind of works better.
Slightly better.
That works a bit better.
They are trying a bit hard.
Yeah, that is a bit try hard. Although you do find with the 666 things during the film.
Yeah.
Like, they're leaving bits off to be able to make that 666.
Yes, oh, totally. It's like the film The Number 23, where it's like, yeah
if you do real selective.
If you do all sorts of weird maths about the dates of the fucking Titanic, it will end up being... Yeah. It's got to push through
and
it.
Yeah, and if at the end you minus two...
because of the first two syllables.
All I really wanted was Titanic.
Titanic.
Yeah, so The Omen, the story of Damien and his family, who his dad is...
Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck, old Gregors. Greggy boy.
He's got some old fucking... He's got some neck, hasn't he?
He's
got some absolute Gregory.
He's got some absolute Gregory Peck on him. So his dad is a diplomat.
Yeah, diplomat.
He's a US ambassador.
For Britain, or not originally, he gets that. There's a promotion during the film or something, doesn't it?
But something like that.
But they're high up. He's high up in the political sphere.
Yeah. And it seems like only in very selective countries. So I think he's born in Rome.
Yes.
Only in places like Rome, like really Catholic countries.
Yeah.
And then like the US.
Yeah.
Do they take babies away from their mum into a weird room with windows so the nurse can hold it up and the dad can give a vague nod of approval? The fuck is that about?
I know, and it's a very dicey situation that he agreed to at the beginning.
Yeah.
The baby died. But it turns out later on we find they killed the baby.
Yeah, they killed the baby, yeah.
To push Damien onto this person.
Yeah.
Because the whole, I've seen a couple of the sequels.
Yeah.
Number two is fucking terrible. Number three, Damien's played by Sam Neill.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've seen that it exists.
It's shocking. And it's all about, he needs to get into the, high up in the political world.
Right.
In order to...
I mean, your dad would help.
Yeah.
If you hadn't, fucked him up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a bit of a flaw.
Yeah,
because
in reality, it would have been better to keep him on side.
Yeah, rather than getting him to hold a gun to you.
Yeah.
Well done, devil.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to do something, manipulate the dad into loving the son and bringing him into his political world. Yeah.
Isn't that the reason that this was pushed onto him and then he just dies?
Yeah. Yeah, because one of the main reasons that Damien is given to the ambassador is...
Because
he's already established in the political world.
Madness. The crazy thing about this film as well is it's the first film first feature-length biggie directed by Richard Donner, who goes on to make Goonies and Superman and Lethal Weapon.
Whole bunch of not this film.
Yeah, is this another one of those where he just gets his foot in the door and you go, I'll do whatever.
I'll do whatever. Yeah, we're thinking of Son of the Devil. Sure, whatever. Sure,
just so I can make my Superman movie 2 years later.
Yeah.
Fucking weirdo.
I really want to make Superman. Yeah, that's fine, but you got to do this Gregory Peck number first.
Sure.
All right, I mean, seems weird, but cool.
Mad that Gregory Peck's in it too, just...
Yeah, because it's a real B-movie, it feels. And
yeah.
Gregory Peck's a big deal.
One of the biggest problems I had with the movie, before we get onto the plot, was the use of the music in it. Every time music wasn't used in a scene, it was like a modern horror classic.
Yeah.
And then in any scenes, like at the beginnings when they see the hound.
Yeah.
And it's like suddenly this weird synthesized soundtrack. Like whoever did the music on it fucked the film up. And it's solely down to him. That's how I viewed it. Anyway.
He's just sat there going, I just want to make Stranger Things or some shit.
It sounded like that, but you know, everyone else seemed to okay this and it ruined their film.
So Greggy Boy goes home to his wife. Mm-hmm. This is much later on, so there it starts off with the baby being born, and then they swap it out for the Devil Boy.
And he makes a quick decision. He's knowing he's got to keep this from his wife her entire life.
Yeah. So he's just like, cool, I'm just going to bang this secret out that I've got to keep for the next 50-odd years.
That's absolutely mad.
Although, he looks old as shit anyway.
He does, yeah. Yeah. He only has a time frame of about 5 years or so, or six.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 5-6 years, yeah.
He's on his way.
Dude looks about 70 already. So maybe that's what he did. He was like, well, I'll swap this baby, but, I mean, I ain't getting past about 20 more years. Yeah, so it feels like a long secret, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, I'm not long for this world. I'm already old as shit.
I'll be dead by the time this needs to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm banking on the fact that I'll be dead before anyone mentions
this. Dick move.
Yeah. But my wife will have to live with it, because she's much younger. Also, they have an odd relationship. Because...
Weird chemistry between the two of them.
And the way they kiss is horrible.
Yeah, it's. I was watching it, and
it's the most unnatural looking kisses.
It's Gregory Peck. It's as if he doesn't want to do it. Like, yeah. It's Lee Remick. Like, she was a fucking bombshell in her day. She was.
He kisses her mouth like he wants to avoid her mouth.
It's so James Stewart. Yeah. Like, it's just touching lips.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just touching lips. More but to instead, it, Greg. He doesn't touch the lips with his lips. He goes around them.
That's so James Stewart.
And he's like trying to hide her lips in his mouth.
It's because he's got a secret. He's to keep it buried.
I'm going to keep the secret buried by burying your lips inside my mouth.
Then I can't speak.
Yeah. It's a Freudian thing. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, mate.
You can tell the age of the film, though, when he says, if anything, you could be too sexy for the White House. It's clearly pre-Lewinsky.
Yes.
Like, you're too sexy for the White House. You can't do that after the 90s.
No.
You're too sexy for the White House. What, the White House where some dude got a blowjob in the Oval Office? Yeah, cool, get your coat.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, get your coat, we're going.
Yeah, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you're too sexy for the White House. Well, why wouldn't you kiss me normal then? Stop kissing me around the mouth.
In these early scenes as well, it's such a weird tone. There's this big sweeping orchestral romantic music, as if, like...
They really want to lean into the fact that he loves his wife.
Yeah, about that, and it's like it's so light-hearted.
Yeah,
and like the movements of the plot.
I suppose it's a little bit, you know, early Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because that starts off as quite that way.
But we've got such context in these opening scenes when it's like establishing the family relationship, as if he isn't currently still lying to his wife that she didn't have as he thinks.
That's a good point. Yeah,
a stillbirth.
Yeah.
And then just swapped the baby.
Yeah, and just went, well, I'll just get a different one then.
This is, like, dark subject matter, and it's just like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, it's almost like Full House or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like,
just going, I'll tell you what, let's make this as light as possible and ignore the fact that he's just done one of the darkest things you could do.
and
ignored his stillborn baby in order to get in a replacement. Like he's on a subs bench.
Greg, that is wild.
He's just like called over to the manager and just gone, yeah, swap it over for a different one.
Yeah, sub him in.
Like
the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, like it's a like it's a centre back after 75 minutes. Like, come on, guys.
It's a human. Such a weird tone to be bringing to the opening scenes. Madness.
You mentioned as well the dog, the first time the dog. So when the music comes in, it's ridiculous music for staring at a dog. I don't know who went, I'm going to make music for staring at a dog.
Yeah.
And went so over the top with it.
And I imagine marketing back in these days is a lot less. So you're going into movies knowing almost fuck all about it. I mean, the poster and the title gives away a lot of the subject matter. But still, all you're doing at this point is going... So he swapped a baby.
Yeah.
And now there's a dog staring at the baby. And it's like... which is supposed to be a synthesizer.
because it sounded like one of those wobble boards.
I wasn't trying to rough it up. But yeah, like... I felt like there would be more context needed in order to understand why this is tense.
Yeah, because if it's
a dog.
If you only know it's tense because you already know the baby is the devil's baby, the film's ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know that, there's no context whatsoever apart from dogs hate this kid.
Which
could be a lot of things.
This is why it's a tough watch these days, just knowing so much about it.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. The birthday party, which is quite soon afterwards, I think it's like the fourth birthday or something.
Can I just say before
fifth
that?
Birthday? I can't remember.
He pulls a little prank on him. Like they're going up to the river because they look back and he's gone.
Oh yeah, and he fucks off.
And then he just like they turn around and he's going. It's like no worries, kid. We thought you were dead. You are. Yeah. We thought you'd fucking drown. What a prank, mate.
Yeah, I mean kids are dicks. Yeah. The birthday party. Great was, thing. I mean, it's the best fucking birthday party I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
Oh my lord.
It's like the opening of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, what's it? Like at least
what doesn't this have?
Yeah, although at least in that you go, oh my god, what do these people do for a living? Oh yeah, he's like a big deal.
Oh right, yeah,
whereas in Mrs. Doubtfire, you're like, what do these people do for a living? He's a voice actor. Yeah.
That's why the goat was eating the begonias.
Yeah,
deep cut Mrs. Doubtfire reference.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember that.
Did you eat my begonias?
You were making the reference to me, and I can't even remember Mrs. Doubtfire that well.
I've alienated a lot of people.
All that, right, so, then you get onto the nanny hanging herself.
Oh, great stuff. For you, Damien.
Great stuff.
Sinister line.
Really, really good. Imagine watching that in the 70s, that nanny hanging herself for Damien.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And it's the...
Because I don't think you would have seen... really anything, and she hits that.
Yeah, it's the sheer weight of the pendulum.
The sort of apex of it. She hits that hard.
And then
hits it so hard that she smashes herself through the window
while breaking her own neck.
Yeah, Jesus like oh God. My fucking god!
And this scene is what introduces the recently departed David Warner.
Dave Warner.
The photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, I never noticed it throughout the film, we'll get to it, but just the photographs. He looks so young, but the photographs he's developing is such a good touch when it shows those streaks. I like that.
It's really good touch. I don't think they make, like, that could be a major thing in the plot.
Yeah, they didn't make a big enough deal.
I don't think they made enough of it.
No, I agree with that.
They made
a good idea.
They made too much of staring at a dog. And nowhere near enough of foreboding pictures.
Yeah, that's genius.
Like it was a plot point, but it wasn't nearly enough of one. They could have made that an overarching like feature of the film. Yeah. I think that would have been really good. Although I think they do that in other films, but much later on.
Yeah, this is an early example of that kind of stuff. Yeah, the supernatural kind of thing.
And then somebody's talking about the nanny. And the suicide. Suicide? Yeah.
What does that mean?
He keeps just saying suicide wrong.
Oh, suicide.
Yeah.
Oh,
The guy who works for Gregory Peck, he keeps talking about how she committed suicide. Why do you keep saying suicide wrong?
I mean...
Say it normal.
The accents were mad as well, because it's...
Suicide.
Two American parents bringing up a kid in Britain, and just the clash of their accents... Because Damien's like, can I get on your shoulders, mummy?
She's like, yeah, sure, man.
Yeah, sure,
you goddamn bastard.
You rightly can.
Neither one of those accents is remotely
featured
right.
As in to the what... film. No.
Basically gone to the bayou.
Oh, it's relying on the kindness of strangers.
It's relying on the kindness of toddlers.
What do you mean, mummy?
Dick Van Dyke kid.
Yeah, oh, he's fucking... Like, to be fair, putting a British accent on the kid made him so much more fucking creepy. They do it with, like, James Bond villains.
Is it at least an English kid?
Yeah.
Right. Trying to rely on a 5-6-year-old to smash out an English accent when they haven't got one would be...
And it's apparently...
Harsh.
Yeah, that's true. It's apparently him cast as well, because when they were auditioning kids for the role, All Richard Donner was saying in the casting room was just, come at me, attack me like you would in the party scene you've just read.
Yeah.
And the only person who went into his face and started clawing at him was this kid.
That's a funny thing. I don't find the kid that creepy.
No, I don't, no.
I think he looks like quite a friendly kid.
He does, yeah. It's just the context of the movie makes it creepy. But
yeah, I guess, but I think they could have got a creepier kid.
But just from that experience, he just went, right, dye his hair black, he's in. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think this film's really about kids who have governesses and grow up in high society and how they just are penises.
Yeah, again, you have no fucking chance of being a normal person if you're that spoiled from the get-go.
I don't know anyone who has a governess.
No, and I don't think I want to.
No, I wouldn't like those people. I wouldn't like those people at all.
To know what that means.
The one thing I really noticed was Gregory Peck makes a lot of dramatic pauses too often. Yeah. Fucking hell, Greg. All I kept going was, why do you keep making weird dramatic pauses?
I guess
almost like he had, like,
he'd forgotten.
Yeah, or he's got epilepsy or something. Just keeps like
phasing out.
Yeah, keeps phasing out and going, what?
Where? Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, like, this is really early inspiration for Finding Fucking Dory. Greg, spit your words out, mate.
It must be a case of, because he's an actor of the 40s and 50s. He's 60s as well. Like, To Kill a Mockingbird, he's most famous for, isn't he? That's a completely different approach to acting. And when you're trying to be a bit more modern, and a modern blockbuster like this at the time anyway, it just doesn't quite translate. I don't think he was a good casting choice for it.
No. He's a lot.
Yeah, he is. He's a bit much. And, yeah, just very
stable. It just doesn't translate. I mean, sometimes you get those where, like, Leslie Nielsen, really serious actor, smashed it in comedy. This, like, very serious, dramatic actor of the 40s, 50s and 60s. Mm. Well, probably 50s and 60s. Mm. I think he was, like, stage actor as well.
Mm.
And it just hasn't translated to this kind of film very well.
The camera's in your face, man. We've got mics to your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
You don't have to project so much.
Yeah, and you don't have to have so many dramatic pauses.
We will edit it.
We're not waiting for fucking intermission. The priest dying is great stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, the whole foreboding thing about that is, I knew that's obviously how he died. That was a very iconic shot these days, isn't it? Just that piercing through and nailing him to the ground. You fucking maniac, whoever wrote that.
Yeah, whoever wrote that, and also the set designers.
Yeah.
You are mental.
Yeah,
That
is a crazy sequence.
We're going to have, off the top of the spire of a church, a massive, like, iron pole fall down and go directly, diagonally through the bloke into the floor and keep him standing up.
That's wild. And then the scene where it just immediately kills him and he just drops standing up.
Slumps, standing up, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But the whole lead up to that as well is quite well made, I think.
Yeah.
Just that frantic.
The only bit... it's all frantic.
Yeah.
The weather changes. Mm. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
The only bit that put me off was the choir going, Jesus Priestus. Jesus Priestus. Come on, man.
Judas Priest.
And also, I feel like he could have moved instead of shouting no.
He stared at it for a while.
For about 10 seconds as it slowly came down at him and shouted, no, just move.
And I feel like he almost knew something like this was on its way.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, maybe that's what it was. He was just like, oh my God, it's happening just like I saw it.
Yeah.
Like in my mind.
Maybe this, stunned this is, him.
Yeah, but I feel like he could have moved.
Yeah, he could have.
I mean, he probably would have got done anyway. I mean, that's the whole point.
But it was weird.
But, yeah.
Before that, you get the scenes where David Warner's developing his photographs, and it comes back later on where it's like pictures of himself. Was it a picture of himself that? And the mother.
And the nanny.
The nanny.
The right. nanny at the birthday party, there was a sort of streak that went sort of around her neck. Like, yeah, like curved around her neck.
That's fucking wild.
It's such a good plot point, and I don't know why they don't make more of it. The mum then starts to slowly hate Damien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And says to Gregory Peck, I don't ever want to have any more children. I was like, and this is like quite soon after Damien's making a bit of noise in the room.
Oh, on the pool table.
Yeah, and she's like, get him the fuck out of this room.
You get out?
Yeah. A, why don't you get out? And B, I don't ever want to have any more children. Like, mate, you've barely got one now.
Yeah, you base this on one experience. You loved him a week ago.
And plus, you've barely got a kid now. You've got some governess there.
This is after...
You're in the house and you're like, hi, governess, can you take him the fuck away from me? Like, you've barely got a kid now. How can you say you don't want any more?
Yeah, you're not even taking care of this.
What do you mean, more? I don't want any more kids. You haven't got one.
Yeah, you have no responsibility for this kid, apparently.
Yeah, you just sort of live in the house while your husband is rich.
So this is after the nanny turns up.
Yeah, and
they just let her in.
Yeah,
I know
they
have a bit of a fumble.
Mrs. Baylock,
Where they're a bit like, sorry, who sent you?
Yeah.
But then she just says...
It's like the agency.
The agency, and they go, oh, go up and see our child on your own then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they go, we actually spoke to her, and they were like, yeah, neither one of us has asked for you.
Yeah.
You've just turned up. She's like, oh, the agency thought you might want another one after that last one hung herself. It's like, okay, yeah, cool. Shouldn't someone have said you were coming?
I mean, they literally showed a bit where this whole thing about the nanny killing herself of an ambassador was in the paper.
Yeah.
So someone could have just seen this and turned the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a spot open, is there?
Oh, yeah, there's a job opening. Great, I really fancy kidnapping a kid.
Yeah, literally.
Like, anyone could have shown up. She's like, oh, here's my references.
Literally.
And they go, oh, okay, great, thanks, we'll check those out. Can I go up and see your son alone now? Yeah, no worries. No. Guys.
Yeah, you brought this on yourself.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, she could have done anything to that kid. So... Just after the mum says, oh, I don't want any more kids, she's like, by the way, I'm telling you this because I'm currently pregnant and I want to get rid of it. Mm. And he goes along to see the doctor, mm-hmm. and the doctor and him have a conversation about it. And he's basically like Gregory Peck basically at that point is like, I'm going to fight to see this pregnancy isn't terminated, no matter the risk to my wife or her wishes about her own body. I'm like, yeah, fuck you, mate.
Yeah, it's not going to play these days, that's for sure.
Jesus Christ. It's basically two old men having a conversation about how whether or not this baby's going to be aborted while she sits at home and goes, oh, I wonder what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I wonder what they will decide about my vagina.
Yeah, about my sexual organs. Yeah.
I wonder what they'll decide about my womb. Fucking I'll just wait to find out. Fuck off.
I know. That is mad, actually.
I know it was the 70s, but, I mean, come on, guys.
That is the only explanation for it, is that it's the 70s and people just were cunts. Just had a lot less empathy for people.
Yeah, man, sure.
A small tidbit that I found wild was when they're driving around, road signs have not changed design since at least 1976. Like... They look exactly the same. The same font, the same colours, the browns and the whites and the greens. It just, that really gave it a modern edge for me, even though it means our road signs here are just so fucking outdated.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares 50 about...
50 years old.
Yeah, who cares about fucking the font on a road sign? But it just... You'd think they would modernise it.
Then you've got Damien knocking the mum off the table.
Well, before you got him being taken to church.
Oh, yeah, of course,
And I was literally sitting there like, he's going to crisp up like a chicken wing if he goes in there. No, I'd be the same, mate.
Actually, later on he gets taken into a church.
And nothing happens.
Not as visceral a reaction.
No, yes, he's fine with it at that point.
I mean, he was pissed off because he's been dragged in there, but not nearly as much.
Yeah, so what is the issue?
Yeah,
being in the church.
Yeah, I mean,
you physically.
It's a bit on the nose, surely.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, so you've got the church. He goes completely mental when he's going to go to a wedding. I mean, of all things. It's not like they're taking them for fucking communion.
And also, the what was she called? Priest, not priestess.
The governess. Governess. Oh, Mrs. Baylock.
Mrs. Baylock is like, what would he gain from this going to this wedding? And she's like, can you get him fucking ready?
Yeah.
Like, for a tactic to keep him in the house and keep him away from the church, because obviously she is aware of what could happen to him in there.
Yeah.
Or that he just doesn't want to go. Is like, you must know that how you're coming across is very fucking suspicious.
Yeah. And like, also,
you have no say in this, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm sorry, but you are...
a babysitter.
You are a babysitter for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't get any say, though.
Yeah, you're not an actual parent.
No.
Like, so I'm taking my son.
Stop interjecting.
I'm taking my son. Yeah, but I don't think you should. Yeah, but I don't think you're going to be employed for much longer if you carry this fucking shit on.
Yeah, literally.
Bitch, keep your nose out.
I'll call this quote-unquote agency.
Yeah. I'll call these fucking references, shall I?
Yeah, let's see what happens there. Well, it's the Church of Satan.
I very much doubt they ever check those references, they which annoys not. The fuck out of me.
They just held it and then just...
Yeah, they just went, oh, thanks for handing these over.
Yeah, thanks for... Oh, blank pieces of paper.
Yeah. Oh, well, hold on a minute. 020000001. Well, that's not a number.
You can't just label it reference one.
Yeah, reference one. And you've put his name as John Smith in quote marks.
It's just a bunch of sixes. It's so on the nose, Bailey.
020-666-666-666.
0800.
Fucking hell, Baylock.
0800, son of Satan.
0800, hail Satan! the fall. The mum falling.
Yes.
The fall. I need to talk about the fall.
Okay.
It's the most ridiculous fall I've ever seen, except for the one in Psycho.
Looks like she floated.
It's so slow.
So slow.
And it was high, but it wasn't that high.
She lands perfectly flat.
Yep.
And
it goes on for ages, but it's not that high.
It can't be.
Like, it's high, but it's not like...
death high.
No. It's not like break every bone in your body high. No. It's like, if I land funny, I might break my wrist high.
Yeah, literally. Should I have a bruise on her hip or something?
Yeah. She's like, ah, oh, man, I landed right on my ass, and that is going to bruise my coccyx.
A weird detail.
Like.
A weird detail about that scene is the goldfish bowl.
The goldfish bowl. They make a big deal out of it.
But the weirdest thing about it is Richard Donner says, I ain't killing fish. I ain't killing actual goldfish for the sake of a movie. We're going to paint some sardines gold. What's the difference?
So we did.
He didn't want to kill goldfish. He thought that was too much. Sardines is fine.
That's the maddest thing I've ever heard.
I don't understand it.
The fall looks shit.
Yeah.
It's also weird that the press are that interested in the ambassador to the US, his wife having a fall at home. Mm. There's like 12 of them.
Yeah.
All clambering to get questions out, like get answers out of it. Yeah. Like he's a.
It's the biggest news story of the day.
Yeah, like he's fucking Brad Pitt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like no one knows. I don't know the name of the American British.
Who's
investor.
The current one?
No fucking clue.
What happened to his wife last week?
And as if his wife died, that at most, that it would or her,
it might be
or
in a
husband,
paper.
It would be on the ticker tape at the bottom of news, like, as well, you know, the minor news comes across.
Yeah, it's on page 31 in the Times.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Like, yeah, sure, you're a person of interest. Yeah. You're a relatively important person in your field.
Yeah.
But I don't know you.
No. Weird reaction.
Yeah. Like, if it was, like, freak accident and it happened to somebody who's on the TV all the time, you might get it in the paper.
Yeah.
Or you might get it on the news.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the wife of... this person on TOWIE fell off a fucking balcony.
Yeah,
you'd
exactly.
be like, it might come up, but certainly not. Oh, the wife of the US the British ambassador to the US fell off a balcony and hurt herself. It's like, oh, quick, get 15 fucking reporters down there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we need our best guys on this. So the plot kind of progresses after, right, like, you get a detail before the priest dies. He says something, but you need to meet this person. I can't remember the names, but you need to meet this person in this town.
Yeah.
And for some reason, David Warner's very invested.
He's very invested. Yeah. Just before that, you've got... I just wanted to talk about the doctor.
Right.
He's basically like... Well, you've got a lot to be grateful for. She's alive. She could still pump out some kids if you want. What more do you want? He's like, well, she could still have children. Like, oh, cool. As long as she's still good for that.
Yeah. Is this after the fall?
Yeah, after the fall.
That didn't kill her?
No. She was in the hospital afterwards.
Of course.
Yeah. So you're right. They move on, and David Warner... I'm assuming he's being targeted because he's a right nosy twat.
It's slightly that, like, he's definitely on the fucking list, and he is obviously aware of the situation, but based on his photographs,
which is a great touch, as we said.
Yeah, brilliant.
But he seems to have also been targeted, and he's like, right, now I'm invested now because I'm being targeted, and I assume it's only because he knows too much and not just because he's a nosy fuck.
He's both.
Yeah, it's a bit of both.
He knows too much because he's an easy fuck.
Yeah, fair enough. And then he's trying to... they're in Italy, and he's trying to explain it to him, the whole thing. And he reads him a bit out of Revelations.
Yes.
And he goes, he will be born on the eternal sea, or something like that, about the son of devil.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, many scholars think that the eternal sea is the world of politics. And at that point, I was like, right, this is why I can't take Christianity seriously.
That's the Bible in a nutshell.
Yeah, because that is the biggest stretch I've ever fucking heard.
Yeah, literally.
Like, because of the ebbs and flows of the world of politics. I'm like, right.
Mm.
Or...
Because it comes in
you
waves.
You could take that as fucking anything. Though.
Political ideologies come in waves and tides.
Yeah, they're always coming in tides. And they're salty.
Aren't you a photographer?
Is this why this sounds like utter bullshit?
My CV's not coming into question here, right?
But he's talking about, like, theology scholars have suggested it might be the world of politics. Like, right, have they just suggested that because it sounds like a load of shit?
Because it works for this film.
Yeah. Or is it because it works for whatever it is they're saying at that moment?
Yeah, literally, like, that.
I'm sorry, I can't take you guys seriously. So then they go around trying to find this priest who sorted out the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they find that the hospital
mm-hmm.
where they were has burned down.
Yes.
And all it burned files. Down. Yeah, yeah. Burned down
the third floor or something.
The fire started on the third floor where all the records were in the records room. And started directly on Damien's record.
Yeah.
It's just so not suspicious. And it's all burned down. And the priest who originally like sort of sorted out the Damien going over to
he's somewhere,
and he got fucked up with the fire.
Yeah.
They do find him in a monastery,
mm-hmm.
In a monastery for insane priests. And I'm pretty sure the priest from the fire is Rickety Cricket from Always Sunny. He's got like half a face.
But a monastery of insane priests. I want to go to that fucking sermon.
That'd be the shit.
Yeah.
Now that one I'm listening to.
Yeah.
He's like, the ebb and flow of the world of politics. Like, that's the sort of shit you expect to hear. Like, from a mental priest. The priest is trying to write down information for them, which he does. He manages to give them the name of this graveyard. And
the graveyard scene is incredible until the music.
That's true. Although it also annoys me that they're in Italy. It's the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 1901.
No.
Even then, this would be wrong. They hand him a bit of slate with a piece of coal to write on it.
Yeah, a bit old school, a bit Amish.
Mate, get me a Bic. Fucking pens exist.
You know, I've got a Parker in my pocket.
Yeah.
No, use the coal.
Yeah. It's the 70s, it's not the 1070s. You don't need to be handing me pieces of slate with coal on so that I can write with a piece of coal. It's like, oh man, it's really hard to read. Yeah, it's a. I'm writing with a bit of coal, mate. What do you want from me?
I literally had a 2B in my fucking hands.
Yeah, get me a pencil and some paper. Those both exist. Really annoying.
But yeah, the
graveyard.
The tone of the graveyard scene was great, just because it was silence and all you could hear was just like foots on mud and stuff like that. It was such a good atmosphere, and then the music starts.
It ruins it again.
It ruins it again, but it was slightly saved by the choir in that one because it was a very sinister choral aspect. But I do have a big fucking problem with the music in this film.
So while they're there, they find the grave of the mum.
Yeah.
And then the grave of the baby.
So this is where the revelation of the child was literally murdered.
Yeah.
Because obviously they had a...
I'm not sure that was entirely necessary either.
No.
Could have just had it adopted by someone else.
He was going to be brought up in Italy, most likely.
Yeah.
And would
could have given it to anyone.
Yeah. No one was going to do it DNA test. They were all pretty sure the kids were theirs.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kid would have been adopted anyway. Yeah,
that kid would have been adopted anyway, and Gregory Peck was entirely aware of it. Mm. So all you need to...
You're the only one that knows, dude.
Yeah, you're the only one... You didn't need to... Like, there were so many options before, guess I'm killing this baby.
Mental.
Jesus Christ.
And dark.
Really dark from a priest. That whole...
Yeah.
That whole fire, do you know what? Maybe that's karma. And then while they're there, Gregory, he ends up calling Kathy in the hospital and goes, you got to get out of the hospital. But it turns out Mrs. Baylock is there already.
Yeah.
I had no idea how she knew to go to the hospital.
Yeah, she didn't have any...
She had no inclination. The call had just happened.
Yeah.
Had you just been waiting around there, waiting for Gregory Peck to call her so that you could chuck her out of a window? Just chuck her out before. Chuck her out of a fucking window before.
The fall, where she dies, is fucking mental as well. She needs to, first of all, just stay on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
Yeah, you're in there because of a fall.
Yeah, don't maybe...
Maybe don't chuck her up on the 15th. Like, come on, guys, have a little bit of compassion for her.
So she falls out of the hospital window,
yep,
through the roof of an ambulance, and lands perfectly on a gurney. A gurney.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Somebody had to design that entirely and went, let's have a land on a gurney. That'd be a laugh.
Just like the thought of two paramedics turning up, closing the doors, opening them, and then just pulling her out and taking her back in. That's all set up perfectly. Cheers.
Yeah, they just pull her immediately straight out. Don't even bother with the doors. They just go, there we go.
A&E.
There you go. Well, you were in the right place.
Oh, she's
best place for it. Oh, she's dead. Right. 15 floors. Really? Wow. Yep. Yeah, that's a long way to go.
And then I think the most notable bit after this is then David Warner's death, isn't it?
It is, but when Gregory Peck finds out about Kathy dying, he just repeats the word Kathy.
Mm.
I'm fairly sure that 30% of the words in the script for Gregory Peck were the word Kathy, because he says it all the fucking time. He says it to her.
Kathy.
He's like, Kathy, I love you. Kathy,
I know my name, buddy.
I know what my fucking name is, and I'm aware that you know it. We've been married for years.
I know what you're trying to prove, Greg.
Yeah. Are you afraid you might forget my name at some point?
It's Kathy.
Kathy? No. Oh, shit. I got it wrong that time.
And those scenes as well.
He gets told as well that he needs to kill Damien, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think by David Warner.
Just when he's repeating that name, sorry, it's just that it highlights my problem with 70s and 60s movies. It carries on. Even now they still do it. Just the amount of ADR, post-dubbing, that they do. Just record it on the... If you can't record it on the day, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, then maybe you shouldn't be making this film.
It just sounds like they're up against the microphone. And it's like... There's no microphone around.
It's like when you're watching overdubbed versions of stuff.
It's too close. They
obviously had to do it in the studio. Their voice sounds too
perfect.
Yeah.
But it looks trash.
I didn't actually notice this. So at that point, Gregory Peck decides he wants Damien to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 minutes later, when David Warner's going, right, here's how we got to kill him. Mm-hmm. He's suddenly like, I don't want to kill him. Like, you wanted him to die 5 minutes ago.
You know who he is now, though.
Yeah. And you wanted him to die 5 minutes ago, but you've suddenly changed your tune.
Although,
is it because you stopped saying the word Kathy and you've forgotten all about her?
Is this before or after he cuts his hair in the night? This is way after that.
Oh, it's way
after. When he finds the birthmark.
I think it's before that.
That's a sinister scene.
I think it's quite a bit before that. Because then you've got David Warner's beheading.
But what if he was wrong when he was cutting that kid's hair? He cut it down to the fucking scalp.
I mean, I've got a bit on that in a minute. The beheading.
I love that scene.
It's excellent.
It's so good. What an idea.
It's amazing. It's like Final Destination before Final Destination. I think Final Destination was entirely based off of this.
So he dropped something in a little money pit. Yeah. The car is very... what's that guy that actor that got killed?
Oh, Anton Yelchin.
Anton Yelchin. Very Anton Yelchin-ish. Yeah.
In a much lighter note, Brian from E17.
Oh, yeah.
Who also ran over himself.
Ran over himself after two tuna jacket potatoes.
Two very large ones.
Very large, but he felt sick, wasn't it?
Yeah, he felt sick. He went to be sick out of the car, fell out of the car and ran over his stomach. At which point I have to assume he was sick because...
Yeah, just pushed it out.
Yeah, well, he's...
Like a Babaloo.
Yeah, like a tube of toothpaste.
What a fucking idiot. the car and then it has a truck with a load of sheets of glass on it, makes an abrupt stop, one slides out and takes
it. It really feels like... Off. Yeah, it's amazing, but it really feels like that guy's entirely unprofessional. Because... You're moving sheets of glass like that.
Yeah, tie that shit down, mate.
I mean, is that how you move sheets of glass? It feels wrong.
It does feel wrong. Any abrupt break when you're on the road.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to whack on all of these sheets of glass, just one on top of each other, in a small pickup truck.
The weight of the other glass will hold it down. What?
What are you talking about? That dude's head's come off.
It's basic physics.
What I don't get, though, is if the power of the Antichrist can chop a guy's head off in Rome, why can't it just crash Gregory's plane and it be the end?
Yeah, be the end then.
Is it just plot armour?
Damien's home free. Yeah, literally. Yeah,
because he's like, through my fucking seventh sense of being the Antichrist, I know that David Warner was going to come and do me in with some knives, so I chopped his head off through some divine intervention.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to allow my dad to come at me.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Just bring the plane down. I mean, that's got to be easier.
Just realize, the scene where he chops his hair is after that.
Yeah, because...
As if you didn't need any more... If you needed more fucking proof.
Yeah, because Gregory Peck turns up to the house and the dog's there. And I almost wanted him to go to Mrs. Baylock. Bitch, I thought you said that dog was gone.
Yeah. Also, you can't just bring in... You've got to clear that with me, mate.
You can't just bring in dogs. Especially Rottweilers.
Around the toddler.
Oh, well, Damien likes it. I'm like, I don't give a shit, mate. This is a random dog. Be a responsible adult. Don't just do what a 6-year-old says.
It's so suspicious. It's like you want to be caught.
Yeah. And I was like, Damien likes it. Yeah, but he's 6.
Yeah, what does he know?
You're supposed to be a responsible adult.
Yeah, but he's the son
of the
devil.
Don't just do all the stuff that a 6-year-old says. That's not what being a governess is, probably. I don't know what that job is.
No.
It sounds ridiculous.
Seems more high up than what she's doing.
Yeah, I mean, whichever... It sounds stupid.
Yeah.
He grabs up the hair, grabs the scissors and goes to cut
Damien's hair. On his scalp.
Yeah, he goes... How do you not wake up during a skin-close haircut?
With scissors.
With scissors, yeah.
The noise alone.
I mean, he's going at it and like gets right down to the skin so he can find a birthmark on his head.
Yeah.
How have you not woken up? I mean, Jesus Christ. And then Mrs. Baylock turned up. She made me shit myself.
Yeah, that was a good look.
It was a good scare, yeah.
Her eyes, I think you see a good shot of her before she kills Kathy.
Yeah, you
the
just see her eyes.
Just in the light, that was a great shot.
Yeah. Mrs. Baylock is actually fucking creepy.
Yeah.
And played really well.
Apparently she was supposed to be, that character was supposed to be really light-hearted and nice, but then when this person turned up, they went, okay, you can add a bit of flavour to this.
Yeah, you can add a bit of flavour, and that flavour is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
So, they have a fight. The way he boots her into a chest of drawers.
brilliant.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Because no hold bars.
It's she's just like, he's like, I'm going to fucking WWE
cane you, mate.
Into a chest of drawers. He just boots her. He doesn't give a shit. I'm
surprised he didn't DDT her.
Her hysterical face, as she dies as well, is terrifying.
Mm, mm.
She is a terrifying character.
I don't think, like, because it's aged a bit, I feel like it wasn't meant to be terrifying the way we take it.
Yeah.
I think it was just overacting, but it just, it's a nice coincidence. Oh, it was That's terrifying. What it seemed like, anyway.
Because the police officer shoots her.
Yeah.
Who apparently is an amazing shot.
Yeah.
He's like 50 yards away with a pistol and he does her.
Does her in a
single
one.
Shot.
Yeah.
Just does it. I mean, shit. Amazing.
That scene with the hair trimming is also zero music, and that's why it was such a good scene.
Yeah.
I will stand by it.
And he drags Damien along to the church to try and kill him on the
final showdown.
On the altar, and then finds he can't do it.
But then, yeah, it's again, it's like there is another Sonny comparison in this. It's like when they have the baby, the dumpster baby, where they're all trying to, like, murder it. Well, they got a sword above it at the end. The police walk in, they're like, dude, what are you doing to this toddler?
Dude, you can't just stab toddlers.
You can't just stab toddlers in churches. or anywhere, but still.
And then you get shot, and then Damien's with the president.
Yes.
Because they've adopted him, because that's how that works.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you have a kid and you're the American British ambassador.
Yeah.
When you die, it goes to the president.
Yeah. Sure. Line of succession. That's, you know, how it works.
It's in the Bill of Rights.
It's in the Constitution. Yeah. The
Constitution. That's the one.
Yeah. So my only real problem with the film is the kid just isn't that creepy.
He was kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, didn't believe him as the son of the devil. Best performance.
Baylock.
Yeah, Baylock for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think some of the other performances border on a bit hammy.
Peck especially.
Yeah. David Warner's all right.
What's her name?
The mum?
The mum, Lee Remick.
Yeah.
That's the actress name. She's in this amazing film called Anatomy for a Murder. I think that's her biggest one, at least before this.
She's a bit much as well.
That's a 50s movie.
Yeah.
They are just taught differently, aren't they?
Yeah. Baylock.
Yeah, Baylock for sure.
Shit my pants moment.
I tell you, the hanging, nanny hanging herself scene. Like, I've seen that clip a fair few times. I've seen this movie before. Still, just as a, once you see her up there, you're like, I know what's coming. But then when she smashes through that window, it's just the whole context of the thing and the aggression of it.
Yeah, it's quite visceral.
What about you?
I think Baylock attacking Robert in the bedroom.
Yeah.
She's hysterical and she's like, and it comes out of nowhere as well.
It's a whole different vibe to her.
Yeah.
She's so reserved throughout. And then lashes out.
Yeah. And also, you don't see her coming. No. She just sort of jumps on him.
Yeah.
But slim pickings in terms of shit in my pants moments.
But, and for her, for my creepiest shot is the eye shot.
In the hospital room? Yeah, that's mine as well.
As a frame.
Yeah, that's mine as well. Brilliant. Yeah.
If I saw that, like, on someone's wall in a frame, I'd be like, well, Jesus Christ. That's sinister. So, out of 10.
Score from 1 to... Oh, what a shame, Ian. I shat myself.
You wrote that down and kept it.
Yeah. That's the best I could come up with.
it's like a fucking 3.
Yeah, I've got 2.5.
Yeah.
Baylock!
Baylock saved it.
She's the only reason it wasn't a 1.
Yeah.
Baylock is the only scary thing about this film.
And David Warner's photographs.
Yeah, it's a good concept.
Yeah.
So, our second film this week, our kind of lesser-known / foreign language, is very much on the foreign language side.
It's not lesser known.
It's very much known.
Japan's highest grossing film.
Yeah. What is it?
Or maybe horror film.
But... Yeah, that makes sense. So this is 1998's Ringu, or Ring.
Yeah, just Ring.
Depending on where you look, it's either Ring or Ringu.
Yeah.
This is the original Japanese Ring, which is based on, I think, a 1991 novel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they went, right, making a film of that.
Yeah. They
almost immediately.
There is a quick turnaround in Hollywood with books.
And they yeah, this is the original first stab at The Ring.
Which has got such notoriety if you come into this film late. Like, yeah. there is a big fucking, you know, history of this movie
yeah.
that you have to try and brush off before going into it.
Well, the thing is, it got remade in America probably less than 5 years later. I think it was 4 years afterwards it got remade in America. It got...
The second one got remade as well.
It got a second one in Japan, and that got remade. I think there might even be a Japanese remake at some point.
Really?
I'm not sure if I've made
I know that. The guy that directed this first one and the second one, Hideo Nakata.
Yeah.
He directed the remake of 2. So I imagine that one's pretty nasty, just because he's, you know, he's been there.
I think at some point we're probably going to have to do the American version as well, because...
they're a different animal, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they are. Because I've seen both now.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd seen this version.
No. No, I still haven't seen the American one. Interested, though.
Yeah, I think I saw the American one a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think it fucked me up a lot more than this did. I think this looks a lot more up to date than a lot of Japanese movies from the same period. Because we've covered a couple of Japanese movies from similar periods, and they look a lot older. Even Ju-on looks a lot older.
The way Ju-on was filmed as well is just a tragedy.
Yeah.
Because there were some good bits in it.
The thing is, as a horror movie, I think Ju-on is probably scarier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As an introduction to a franchise, it's scarier than The Ring.
But they filmed it on a Sony Ericsson, so...
But it looks like an episode of Doctors, whereas this looks like an actual film. An
actual production.
And it looks not that much more dated.
Yeah.
Than I would expect it to, sort of. For the late 90s, it looks about right.
Yeah.
It potentially even not quite as dated, although obviously there's a lot of VHS. It starts off with two schoolgirls.
Goes right into the videotape shit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No hanging about.
One of the schoolgirls, I think it's Tamako, is talking about the... last week we were at a house with, you know, my boyfriend and this other girl and her boyfriend, and we were clearly banging. And we watched this video, and it was a really weird one, and then we got a fucking phone call afterwards. And then she says she's lying, and then it turns out she's not lying. Why say you were lying when you weren't lying? What does that do?
I mean, yeah, that's bizarre.
She's like, oh, yeah, we watched this video. She's like, did you? And then she goes, no, I'm lying. And then it turns out she wasn't lying.
Yeah.
What?
So...
Are you just trying to drag this conversation out?
Immediately she claims... We watched the film and then got a phone call.
Yeah. And it was a week ago tonight.
But she seemed pretty, like...
Chilled
about it, because she... But when you watch the actual videotape, it's basically a fucking Salvador Dali experimental movie. It's absolutely mental.
Yeah, there is no way you would watch that and go, I'm definitely going to die.
Yeah, you'd go, watch what it, the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, what did I watch? Fucking, Unchained Andalusia. like, what sort of fucking 1920s French bullshit is this?
Yeah, exactly. That's literally how it seems. Just a guy with a gun to his head and a shot of a well and
someone brushing their hair, and then eruption over and over again in Japanese.
Yeah.
Fucking mental. Oh, and some people crawling.
Oh, yeah, a lot of crawling.
Yeah, a lot of crawling.
Yeah, that would be my main takeaway. Like, you should see this movie. It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. So then the phone rings, and they sort of shit themselves a little bit, and they're like, oh, my God, right, let's go downstairs. And then it turns out to be Tamako's mum. She's like, oh,
yeah. Tamako?
Is it?
Isn't that in The Simpsons when they fuse tobacco and tomatoes?
Shit, I'm going to have to look up this girl's name. I feel really bad now.
No, I'm sure it could easily be that.
It's Tomoko.
Tomoko, okay. Close enough.
So, Tomoko and Masami. And they're talking about this thing, but it's also a bit of an urban legend around the area that they live in.
Oh, it's an established thing, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Bloody Mary type of thing.
Yeah.
So then... she gets a phone call and she's like, oh shit, and then it turns out to be her mum and she's at the baseball and there's extra innings, and then they laugh their heads off because extra innings in baseball is hilarious.
Oh yeah, I love it when a boring game goes on for longer.
Oh yeah, wow, 4 hours now, great.
I get hit a ball more.
Oh my god, and it's been going on all day, wow. The opening though feels a little bit like Scream.
Yeah, you could tell Scream
definitely took some inspiration from this. Some
big inspiration from that.
Because it's just that opening, it's sort of
high
school, right into the action, but also high school, light-hearted, but also fucking action straight away. The negative of her face, though, when she turns around and obviously...
dated.
Yeah, she obviously sees Sadako.
It does give it the facial expression, because this film throughout seems to stay away completely from gore, from any kind of violence.
You compare, if you compare It Follows, which we covered quite a few weeks ago now, when the thing catches up to you, it is violent. It is horrendously violent. To this, where you kind of almost freeze.
It's really subdued. But they, I think, like...
You die, but you sort of almost die, like, frozen in place.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't love it as a horror film. It didn't scare me in any way, this one.
Yeah.
But I do really respect the fact that they were able to do what they did without any of that kind of...
Yeah.
...aggressiveness or blood or anything.
Yeah, it's in no way sort of visceral. It was just... like leaning into the creepiness.
The horror on their faces when they die and then turning it into a negative does give it is quite a jarring look, but the idea is very dated.
So then it goes to Tomoko's aunt, who is a journalist.
Yeah.
And she's doing an interview with some schoolgirls about the kind of urban legend, or like urban legends generally. And they're talking about this videotape, and then the this girl and her boyfriend were in a car, and they both died at the same time. So can you point me towards some people who I can talk about this? Oh, it was a friend of a friend. I'm like, this doesn't seem like great journalism.
It's bad journalism.
Love
a horror film that's underlying with a like almost like a detective story though.
Love
those.
Yeah, it's good. So it carries on with the aunt who is named Bucket. Right, so it carries on with the aunt who's Reiko.
Reiko.
Or Reiko?
Can't remember.
Fuck it.
We got no hope.
Sorry. sorry, man.
Western tongue.
Sorry, yeah, I'm sorry, Japanese people. She runs in and says to her son, oh, we've got to hurry. And the son's almost like, bitch, you need to hurry. I've been ready half an hour. And he's even put her clothes out.
Yeah.
And he's so sassy about it. He's like, fuck you.
The
English, I've been here ages.
The English subtitles I have at one point where he goes off to school, he just goes, I'm off. Like, what kind of 6-year-old says I'm off?
Latest, bro. Yeah. Latest, bruv.
I've got shit to do.
Yeah. I've got a crack on. I'll see you.
I've got a crack on. It's like the knee slapping up. Well,
but he's six.
But he's an old fucking Yorkshireman. I like how, as well, in these opening scenes, as well, it really deals with, really concentrates on the local grief. Like, it doesn't just sort of put that in a blind spot. It really the daughter of, or the mum of the daughter that died. Like, it goes to her and how she's just, like, staring into space. Like,
yeah, absolutely broken by it.
Gives it a nice tone.
I do think, though, that... I can't remember that... Reiko's son...
Yeah.
Who obviously features in this a lot.
Yeah.
I
think he's big in the second one as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about... Japanese kids in Japanese horror films are always made to be so creepy.
Yeah, it's a big thing in The Grudge.
Where,
you know, that kid making that fucking noise. And every time it, like, plants the shot on him, it's like, fuck me. It's such an innocence. And, like, it's yeah, wrong.
I think that must be what they're doing in sort of J horror. They're just leaning into childhood innocence.
Yeah, yeah.
But the kids are creepy.
So many things, so many elements from Japanese horror obviously got bled into Western horrors.
Yeah.
But like things like the terror they're able to put on their face in these moments is just fucking haunting.
Yeah.
And things like little kids and old people.
Yeah, little kids and old people, yeah. All creepy.
Yeah.
They then are talking about the girl who died in the car.
Yeah.
And it's Reiko and another journalist. Mm-hmm. And the other journalist is like, oh, I've never seen a corpse like that. I'm like, how many corpses are you spying? He's apparently seen a lot of corpses, and nobody thinks that's weird.
Yeah,
and, never seen a corpse. Yeah, I've never seen a corpse like that. I'm like, I ain't even seen a corpse. I mean, I could say that about any corpse. I've never seen a corpse like that. I've also never seen a corpse.
It's like Gregory Peck and the Omen going, that was the weirdest beheading I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah. How many are you?
Sorry? What are you comparing it to? I've seen some shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly this fucking journalist has been through some stuff. So Reiko ends up watching the film, the video. The video is mad.
Mm-hmm.
The video is absolutely mental.
Yeah, I would be alarmed if I saw that too.
Yeah. And in that sort of scene, she's going through her son's drawings from school.
Mm.
And it's him... And then his mum and dad, and they're both, and it says like that they're fat. I'm like, literally, no one in this film is fat.
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, yeah, like
everyone in this film is so skinny.
That's why, yeah, she looks at it and just laughs.
She laughs, and I'd be like, "Fuck, are you talking about, mate?
Is this kid all right?"
Yeah.
She sees everyone is like reverse shallow hell.
Yeah. I was thinking bulimic. Fucking bulimic 6-year-old.
Everyone's so fucking fat.
Like, they're really not, kid. Literally no one in this is fat. The video is completely mental. We have to talk about the video because it's madness.
It is, yeah.
It's like someone brushing their hair, some people crawling, some Japanese writing, which it turns out it sort of explains later on through Ryuji, which is the sort of
ex-husband.
Male, yeah, the ex-husband, the psychic. He says it says eruption. So none of it makes sense, and then just a still of a well.
Yeah, it's just very artsy. It seems.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's really definitely
avant-garde.
Yeah, it's definitely the sort of thing that you would see in a real tosspots art opening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it means fuck all, but they've just then later on added some meanings.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 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 They just wanted to make it fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're coming up to the moment where the son accidentally watches the tape.
Yeah.
And this is a good moment because there is this burst of just such horrible dramatic music when she sees that he's watching it.
Yeah.
And it makes like the idea of it way more terrifying.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it's a kid watching a fucking tape. Obviously we do have the context of why it is harrowing, but like that elevates it beyond for me. I was just sat there like, Jesus
Christ. Difference between the use of sound in this versus The Omen.
Yeah, oh God.
Madness. Before that she gets her ex-husband round and he watches it. And she walks off during the time where he's watching it. She goes outside. And I don't know why she walked off. It's not like you can be double cursed.
No, yeah, yeah, you're done now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done you.
You could repeat viewings, ain't gonna fucking change shit.
Yeah. Also, she gets her husband around, or her ex-husband, and goes, I've just been cursed by this video. You wouldn't mind having a look, would you?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be like, good fucking luck with that.
Yeah.
I will see you later.
Plus, he is...
By the way, I won't see you a week later, because you're dead.
Yeah.
Be fully dead.
He's established as a psychic quickly. And apparently the idea of this or the powers that the ring girl, the well girl, has
Sadako.
Who?
Sadako.
Sadako. Is this old
idea. Which is weird because in the American one I think she's called Samara.
Samara.
Yeah.
Okay. They really, really whited that up, didn't they? What?
Is that a whitey name?
Samara. Samara Weaving. Yeah, that's all I'm going with. We can cut that. shit, what was I talking about?
The Ringo. And how she's got her own powers.
Yeah, because the ex-husband is psychic, there's this old myth, apparently, in Japan about this power where someone can touch an object or, you know, the top of a table, and it will leave, when it's then touched by someone else, either you'll get a memory from it or you'll be cursed by that thing. Like, it leaves
almost leaves a scar.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Because he does that quite a lot, where he'll sort of go into, but also it's not even just Roji who is doing that. Reiko is she also gets sort of flashes of like other people's memories and stuff. But she doesn't seem to
through him.
It's only
when he visits the dad on the island.
Yeah.
When the dad falls down and after he's being accused, which if you start shouting shut up when you're being accused of something and running away, it's just basically saying yes. He falls down and then he grabs hold of him and starts getting this memory of the kind of showcase that his daughter gave.
I think it's his wife gave the showcase. Showing off his wife as psychic.
Yes, and the daughter comes. But
it turns out, the daughter's like the real psychic power because one of the critics or journalists or whatever sort of gets up and goes, "This is all bullshit."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you're not even fucking psychic.
Yeah.
And
then she sort of runs out. Dies, doesn't he? While he's
dies because Sadako is looking direct. Is sort of looking at him from behind a curtain.
Right. Yeah.
He is fucking livid that she might not be psychic. You never get this with Darren Brown.
No.
Like, no one's turning up having a massive go at him and then dying.
No one's just having a go at him. No one's enjoying it.
No one's running in and going, "Oh, fuck you, you're not psychic."
No one thinks he's a psychic.
Yeah, exactly. No.
But in that, they obviously were trying to push that across.
Yeah, I suppose.
The idea I liked in that scene, though, was the thought that she stood next to him and then is in the memory.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool. And then she grabs hold of her hand and leaves a burn almost.
Yeah, that bit.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. And it that did make me shit myself because Sadako is one creepy fucking bitch.
Well, yeah, what's with all the front hair?
Yeah, what's
front
with all the hair? Yeah.
Like, how do you know where you're going?
Yeah, what in the My Chemical Romance is this shit?
I was just head moshing back there.
Yeah,
head banging.
Also, when they're watching the video. When Ryoji is talking about it, he's talking about how when somebody filmed this, I'm like, are you actually saying someone filmed this shit?
Yeah.
Like someone's bashing out the fucking Fujifilm camera and just going, "Oh, I'll tell you what I'm gonna film."
Brushing hair.
I'm gonna film someone brushing their hair in the mirror. Which has been sent up a whole bunch of times. The armpit brushing in
Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, this is a...
Then she beats the shit out of her through the window, through the mirror. Oh, Queen Latifah.
Oh, what a weird fucking film that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a weird kind of psychic, though.
Yeah.
So, obviously... So then they sort of find out why... Or what happened to Sadako in the first place,
mm-hmm.
Which is her dad pushed her down the well.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal behaviour from the dad.
Yeah, not cool.
But considering how much of a creep she is, I'm sort of on his side.
Was it basically because he was ashamed of her and it was like...
I don't know. I don't know if it was just, this bitch is creepy, I'm having her down a well.
Yeah, but didn't kill her.
No.
Put her down the well and covered it.
Yeah.
You rude fucking monster.
Absolutely brutal. I mean, she's a creep, but come on, mate.
Still, just, you know.
That's a lot. So then, through their investigation, Ryuji and Reiko sort of find the well.
Mm-hmm.
Ryuji goes, "I'll go down." Which, yeah, fine, mate. Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Do what you like, mate.
I actually wasn't going to volunteer. So
no arguments here, buddy.
So, yeah, cool. You go down. He was like, almost like he was...
waiting
like,
for her to...
Yeah, I'll pay the bill. Like, cool.
Oh, you're going to let me?
Oh, you're going to let me go down there?
Cool.
Fucking hell, mate. I'm helping you out.
But then, yeah.
I didn't need to watch that video.
They're trying to push the water out, aren't they? They're bringing up buckets of water to try and drain it. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he goes, let's swap.
Yeah.
And she goes down there and hugs a corpse.
Yeah. Reiko in the well is one of the more mental things I've ever seen.
Just because throughout the film, her reactions to things are big.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, crawling up into balls and crying, like the way she screams out of nowhere at people.
Yeah.
And then in this moment, the most harrowing moment she's experienced.
The point where my arsehole would fall out.
Yeah. Yeah, where her fucking flesh fell off her skull.
It's the most mental thing I've ever seen. Like, so she gets grabbed by on the wrist by Sadako, who's underneath the water.
Yeah.
And doesn't she's jump. So calm.
Yeah, doesn't react.
Doesn't react whatsoever. And then gives her a hug while her hair and skin comes off. And she's still calm.
And her eye sockets are oozing.
Eye sockets ooze. Still calm.
Fine with it.
And then just hugs
her. Day at the office, isn't it?
Yeah, hugs her skull. Fine still.
Yeah.
All fine. All good. Until eventually Roji comes along and goes, oh, by the way, it's like 7:15. If you were going to die, you'd have already died. And she's like, oh, all right. Didn't need to hug that corpse then. Or unless hugging that corpse is what did it. Do you want to jump down here and have a go on this corpse? And he goes, nah, do you know what? I'd rather die.
Yeah, rather she killed me.
Actually, that sounds awful.
But the revelation of it is, as you pointed out, if you make a copy and show it to someone, the chain carries on.
Yeah.
So she had already done that at that point. Yeah. That's why she was there. So
there's no need for anything. She didn't need to touch the corpse. No. She didn't need to hug it. She didn't need to break all of its skin on fucking hair off. I also like the fact that if that was just that it was already a corpse, it had been underwater for so long that all the fucking flesh was falling off of it.
Like, but
the
hair, cooked pork.
Hair was fine.
Yeah.
Hair hadn't come out.
That hadn't come out.
Just fine.
Rotted off.
So... So then after that, obviously Reiko and Ryoji are both completely relieved. Oh, we must have done something to break this curse.
Mm-hmm.
So they go home, and then Ryoji sat in his house, and the fucking TV comes on, and it's a video of the well.
Yes.
That video of Sadako coming out of the well and creeping towards the thing, one of the most creepy fucking things of all time.
Yeah, it's apparently, what do they call it? The old traditional theatre in Japan. Is it Hibuki theatre?
Right.
It's based on those kind of movements where people would be able to showcase emotion with jagged movements.
Yeah.
And it's just all based on that. But when horrible. You put it into that context, someone coming out of a well and crawling towards your TV screen... and coming out of it is just it's quite ingenious.
Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, really well done.
And obviously it's sort of impacted other things since. But that for sure. It's like one of the most iconic
images.
Shots, images in horror.
For sure.
But also rank.
Yeah, absolutely rank.
Her fingernails being missing as well.
Not the best.
Really rough.
Yeah, nice.
And obviously, as you said, the sort of Hibuki theatre, the way that she moves, all rough as fuck.
Yeah.
And then her eyeball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really rank.
Yeah.
And then Roji sort of...
Screams and
dies in place. And then... Reiko realises, oh, right, so the only way to survive is to fuck someone else over.
Yeah, literally.
By very making a copy and showing it to someone else
mm-hmm.
and spreading this shit.
Yeah.
Cool, I'll just go do some more of that then.
Yeah.
And it turned out, oh, because I'd already done that, my ex-husband's dead now.
Yeah.
But I'm fine, and my son will be fine. So as long as that's fine... Everything's
cool. This thing still exists, though.
Yeah, very much still exists. Best performance?
What's her name? Ryko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Or her husband. Her husband's very good Ryoji, as well. He's a legend, that actor.
Yeah, Hiroyuki Sananda.
Yeah. Last Samurai. Most recently in Bullet Train.
Yeah.
He pops up everywhere. He's great.
In Sunshine. He's in Life. He's great. He's really good. He's mine. I think he's pretty great throughout it.
But
he's in lots of films. So big shout out to Hiroyuki Sananda because he's real good.
Yeah.
And this was fucking 1998, and he looks the same.
Yeah, he aged fucking well though.
Oh my god, he aged like fucking wine.
He's a bit of a hunk.
yeah, dude is sexy. Shit my pants moment.
Now this is tough for me, because there weren't a lot of beat. I've got. Fine for images, but in terms of a moment which actually made me recoil,
yeah,
I can't actually think of one. I think the one that probably got closest was in that memory when she runs out and grabs hold of the arm.
Yeah.
Just as an idea that this memory has touched you.
Yeah.
Is quite and burnt horrendous.
Your arm. Yeah.
Burnt your arm. Oh, yeah. It was very Elm Street.
Yeah. That was probably my shout out for Shit My Pants moment. But I'm going with the sort of reflection in the TV when Reiko's looking at it.
Pointing at the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was jarring.
Fucking got me.
I've seen that a few times since.
Oh, shit myself.
Yeah.
Shit myself.
It's a great touch. It reminded me of the Conjuring 2 with the Bill.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. Yeah. Fucking got me.
It's a great idea.
Creepiest shot.
The eye.
Yeah. That was my shout out.
When she kills the ex-husband.
Ryoji.
Ryoji. The way she looks at him is like her head is bent backwards and she's looking down.
Yeah. So you just see only a little bit of the... You see a lot of white.
But a bit of the...
And only a tiny bit of the...
The iris.
Yeah, the iris, yeah.
It's harrowing image.
Fucking odd.
What was yours?
I mean, that's a shout out. Yeah. That was my shout out. But the it was. I think it's Sadako coming out of the TV.
Fair.
Just before that, yeah. Sort of slowly crawling out of the TV with no fingernails.
Just those movements are
absolutely horrible.
They will live on.
Score from 1-2 Ring ruined. Easier one that.
Yeah, that's right there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fucking teed up.
I would say not a lot more than The Omen, probably a 4.
I've gone 5.
5, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, pretty good moments. Couple got me.
Yeah, it's just the pace of the movie was quite... There wasn't a lot in between these big moments.
No.
These horrible... Like, so... For maybe we're quite spoiled with horror movies these days where they're just quite chock full of these big moments, but... Yeah.
I mean, it's a classic. It spawned a lot of other films. It spawned sequels. It spawned remakes. Massive
franchise, yeah.
Big franchise, similar to Ju-on.
And I think what
in the sense that it spawned a much bigger franchise and a lot of remakes off the back of it. It didn't get me as much as I thought it would do.
Yeah.
It didn't get me as much as Ju-on.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of moments.
I think what I appreciate about it and what I imagine is the reason for it being a successful franchise is the idea of a countdown.
Yeah.
The fact that
you're going to die, and this is when you're going to die.
Yeah.
And
there's almost a certainty.
There's fuck all waiting. You can do about it.
And so that, like, as a tension device, that is pretty ingenious.
Yeah, which I think... a lot of my favourites are quite similar to that. Like It Follows, where this thing's going to catch up to you. You don't really have a chance of getting away. You can delay it as much as you can, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So next week, for our classic / big budget, another classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah.
The original.
Have you seen it?
Do you know what? I don't think I have. I don't think I've seen the original one.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it. It's Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's... it is a classic, but it is atrociously dated now.
Okay.
Which is what we're going to run into a lot here, but... it'll be interesting. That's for sure.
And yeah.
Our lesser known is... I'm pretty sure it's an American movie, Harpoon.
It's Canadian.
Canadian, 2019. So
it's not from that long ago. Canadian, yeah, 3 years old. Lesser known, definitely. It's not foreign language. It's very much on the lesser known part. But yeah, 2019, Canadian, ocean horror.
Yeah, it seems to have harpoon. A way bigger critical response than audience. So it might be. Who knows?
Could be pretentious, could be really good.
Could be pretentious, could be misleading or something, I don't know, to audiences. But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's next week's. We've got Friday the 13th and Harpoon, if you can find it. Go ahead, watch those films first, and then we'll talk about it next week and see how much we shit ourselves.
Bye.
See ya.